This is Rabbi Chaim Bravender of Web Yeshiva. The Nach Yomi podcast for Tehillim, chapter Samach Daled 64. Visit webyeshiva.org on the internet to sign up for our fully interactive online yeshiva. Chapter 64 has 11 psukim in it, and speaks of ideas that have come up before. But as we know that in learning Tehillim, the important thing, is to look carefully at the words that I use to express the similar idea. So the first two psukim, the author, Lam Natzech, Mizmor LeDavid, David HaMelech, turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says in Pasuk Gimel, Tastireni Misod Mireim, Merikshat Poalei Aven. Tastireni, hide me, Misod Mireim, from these evil people, right? Misod Mireim, from the community, the kahal, the people who want to do evil. This is what Yaakov Avinu used the word in the same way, Bisodam al tavo nafshi, which is parallel to Bikahalam al techad kivodi. So that Tastireni Misod Mireim. Seter, hide me. Hide me from them. That's sufficient. That would be enough, according to David HaMelech. Give me an opportunity to avoid contact. Whatever the din is, whatever the justice demands, that will be done eventually. And the second part of the pasuk is Mirikshat Poalei Aven. Mirikshat Poalei Aven. The word riksha again means a group, and is the same as sod. But Yaakov Avinu said sod, and the parallel was kal. Here David HaMelech says sod, and the parallel to that is Resh Gimel Shin Rig Sha, a community. Hide me from that. And it may be that the Medrash, in its way, tries to pinpoint always the events that the Perek in Tehillim may be referring to when those events are not clear. So in this case, the word regesh serves as a jumping off point in Medrash Tehillim, that this is somehow referring to the plea of Daniel, who went into the lion's den, was thrown into the lion's den by the kings of Persia. The word regesh is used in Daniel several times. It was perhaps understood by Chachamim as being a reference to the events of Daniel. Even though historically, of course, we find this comparison a little bit difficult. If it's David HaMelech, where does Daniel come into the story? And yet, Daniel represents the stoic response, the Kiddush Hashem, the Mesirat Nefesh, that was vindicated by the Hashgacha, by the watchfulness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that we all understand. We know that at some point, or in some way, the stoic response is demanded, and the Mesirat Nefesh will, in fact, make a difference. So that's what the particular point of this medrash, of this mizmor, may be. That that Daniel, let's imagine to ourselves that Daniel is the one who is asking of God, Tastireni misod mireim, merikshat poalei aven. And what gives him the right to ask the question was that he had decided, he, Daniel, had decided not to have anything to do with this community. And he would live his own life in his own way. And surely in our own time, this is part of the ongoing question of Jewish existence. We know that we have both obligations. On the one hand, we have an obligation to live, to support our families, to produce education for our children. And so there doesn't seem to be any way except intensive involvement with the world that in many ways we reject. With a world whose ideals are not exactly our ideals, which is not to say that they are bad or unacceptable ideas, but they are different. They are different. I mean, we're the people who want to say, Hamotzi lechem on haaretz, before we eat, and we're the people who want to bench after we eat. Certainly a kind of rhythm and cadence which is not a part of regular life. And that's exhibited by Daniel, because Daniel was the one who kept davening, who wouldn't join the community in the parties that they made for themselves, and the meals that they made for themselves. That was Daniel. Daniel, unlike worthy of thought, unlike Yosef, who did apparently join in and was part of the community that he lived in, Daniel was a high-ranking officer of the court, but he did not join in. When they went to have a good time, you know, they went to the baseball games of those days, which were idolatrous functions, Daniel was not with them. And when they ate, Daniel did not join them in that restaurant. And when they were all going home from work or doing whatever, Daniel was the one who said, I've got to daven. I mean, it's time for mincha. Or it's time for maariv. Daniel, after all, daven 3 times a day. So that again, this connection that there's a prayer, a special prayer for the people who want to live an independent life, want to live according to the principles that the Torah has laid down for us, want to live according to the mitzvot, the halachot. I mean, those kinds of people deserve divine support and help. And so the Mechaber, the author of the Mizmor, says, Pasuk Gimel, Tastireini Misod Mireim, Merikshat Poalei Aven. The question is not knock them down or destroy them. Tastireini, hide me. Make me oblivious to their enterprise, to what they do, and to what they try to accomplish. That's the demand that is put forth in this mizmor. I think we should not leave this mizmor without looking at the last verse. The last verse is an independent statement, something that comes on its own and doesn't necessarily connect to the earlier part of the statement of the mizmor. Yismach tzaddik b'Hashem. The tzaddik should have joy with God. V'chasabo. In other words, simcha, joy, is the same as having God spread his protection over us. In other words, Yismach, this word Yismach, which is a kind of very powerful word for the religious personality, and we have this capacity of simcha. What is it? I mean, is it laughing or telling jokes? Is it even being happy that things work out the way they should? Yismach tzadik b'shem v'chasa bo. So the Baal Mizmor seems to say that it's this recognition that God protects us is what we call simcha. Simcha is about where we stand. Yismach tzadik b'shem v'chasa bo. V'yithalelu kol yishrele, the end of the pasuk. Yithalelu kol yishrele. Yishrele, the straight of heart, obviously a compliment. And yithalelu. Hallel is the necessary implication of simcha. Simcha, when it bursts forth out of the human persona, the way we do it, is we sing God's praise. Because simcha is always about whatever it is that is causing this joy. So again, the prayer may be about, maybe to God, and that prayer is, Tastireni, help me to hide out from the world around me. But the wish, Bigadol, the greater wish is, Yismach Tzadik Bashem, B'chasabo. Let me get to a state where I understand that everything comes from, everything I have, and everything that I do, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'yithalelu, and as a result, I will produce the V'yithalelu. I will produce the song that is the necessary consequence of this feeling, so that the Jews standing at Yam Suf, having been saved in the greatest salvation in history, and having recognized that there was a Vayaminu Bashem, that their belief in God was never stronger, never better, never purer, never more influential in their own lives, they sang Ashir El Hashem Ki Ga'o Ga'o. It's not just the content of the song that we are noticing today, but it's the very fact that they sang, that they had nothing more to do. They didn't build a sacrifice. They didn't do it Noach did when he got out of the ark. They didn't do what Adam HaRishon did. The Medrash says, the Gemara also mentions that Adam HaRishon gave a sacrifice because he was in need of tshuva. He was in need of a repentance for his sin in Gan Eden. It wasn't that kind of feeling. It wasn't a sacrifice. It wasn't a kind of an interactive agreement. We give a sacrifice and maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue to be good to us. No. It's the ultimate statement. There's nothing more. There's no more that we can ask or get. Yismach tzadik b'ashem v'chazavo v'yithalelu kol yishrei lev. Having achieved this sense of unique relationship, of special concern that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us, having achieved that, we yithalelu, we sing. Song is like a gift. It's something that comes at special moments. It does not imply a return. There is no return for this song. Yismach tzadik b'ashem, v'chasa bo, V'Italalu Kol Yishrei Lev.